listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kurt G, and E Green.
Peace, everybody. It's the coolest legendary. It's the cool, the DJ, the Red Alert. It's not all about me. It's all about the Hip Hop Digest. You understand? Hip Hop Digest. Make a note of it. 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 Make a note of it.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. And as promised, yo, it's been a minute since we first mentioned this, but we finally caught up with this dude named Speech. What's up, brother?
What's up, y'all? What's happening?
Was good.
Yeah, everything, man. It has been a minute. We've been talking about this for a while, so sorry it took so long.
It's all right, brother. We got you in.
Perseverance.
It's good. I'm glad to be here, y'all. It's good to be here.
No doubt. So anyway, we're welcoming Speech from Arrested Development on a Hip Hop Digest Show interview series. And what we like to do is when we get right in, we like to put you right on the spot. So the first question we're going to ask you is, what is your personal top three MCs? I don't want a historical list, nothing politically correct. Your personal top three.
We don't care if nobody knows them but you.
Right, exactly. Well, I have to say my number one is Chuck D from Public Enemy. My number two is probably Jay-Z. My number three is probably Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, that's a different list.
Yeah,
nice range.
Yeah, yeah. All across the board. Yeah.
No doubt. And so, do you want to tell us about your first rap CD cassette 12-inch that you ever bought with your own money?
My first rap CD, actually it wasn't a CD. I'm up there in age, so I bought a vinyl joint. So you want me to still say CD or you want me to say the first joint?
We're in the same age range then, brother.
Exactly. So your okay. first 12-inch
vinyl
album,
joint.
Right, vinyl that you bought with your own money.
My own money was Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang. That was the first rap record I ever heard. I bought it.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. So earlier pregame, you had mentioned that you used to be a DJ. Do you still spin?
I do. I still spin. I mean, that's my first love. Like, DJing is my first love. And I started off as a DJ at age 13. My dad owned a nightclub called the Foxtrap. And I used to just stay there. But then the DJs that was older, they taught me how to spin. And back then it was just mixing, blending records together. You know what I'm saying? And then I learned how to, you know, like really spin like hip hop as far as cutting, scratching, you know, backspin, stuff like that. All of that stuff.
Okay. Wow.
It was an amazing thing. I still love DJing. It's like, to me, that's my favorite, you know, instrument.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So what do you spin mostly now?
Huh?
What do you spin now mostly?
I have a radio show called Musical Safari. And what I do, because I travel so much now, for 20 years I've been traveling, 25 years. So everywhere I go, I collect various songs, records, you know, artists. And I spin it on a radio show in Tokyo, Japan. And right now, we're trying to get it in South Africa right now as well. So we're just trying to get it in different stations.
Okay.
All right. That's what's up.
Yeah, it's nice.
No doubt. So tell us about the inception of Arrested Development, sort of briefly, how that all came together.
Well, I was came to Atlanta, Georgia in 1987 at the Art Institute of Atlanta. And basically, I was looking to start a hip hop crew because I had been doing hip hop prior to that. But then I put a flyer up looking for a DJ because I wanted to start rhyming. And a guy named Tim was looking at the flyer. I asked him, yo, you know, do you DJ? And he said, yeah. And we started talking and we became best friends and started the crew. I named him Headliner after a while because he was still is a great barber. And he used to line people's heads. So I called him Headliner. And me and him started doing shows together as Arrested Development. And basically, we would just invite people on stage with us because we wanted to make it like a sound system. Sort of like, you know, they do in Jamaica or Soul to Soul in London, where you just had a lot of different guests that would join on. And that's how Arrested Development really started. It was a lot of people that was in the audience that we called up on stage, and they would end up, you know, really sticking with us and forming with us, and we would become a group after a while. But it started off with just me and Headliner as a sound system.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what's up. So after great success, and I didn't actually know this other than prepping for the show, that Arrested Development won the world, was the first rap group to win Best New Artist at the Grammys. I didn't know that.
Yeah, in fact, to my knowledge, I think we're only ones at this point. I don't think anybody else has, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, yeah, it was pretty interesting time. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, what's up, Swervin? What you got?
Oh, I got all kind of stuff. You know, I went in deep, sir. Speech, I went in deep to check out my research, all right?
Okay, so, cool.
You know, started off in, what is that, Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So were you just born there, or did you live there for a while?
I was born and raised there, and I lived there until I was 18, outside of spending every summer in Tennessee and East St. Louis. So my grandparents was in East St. Louis, one of them, and the other one is in Tennessee. So my mom and dad would send me off to those places as well, but I was basically raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, and I was checking out, you know, your bio and stuff, and it was saying, like, I've never been to Milwaukee. I've never been to Wisconsin. Uh-huh. I have my ideas of what it's like.
Yeah.
But since you did get some, you know, some years, like, of life and experience there, what exactly, because, again, we're in the same age range, so what exactly were you experiencing in Wisconsin?
I experienced a lot. I mean, basically, I lived in the suburbs, so my family was the only black family in an all-white suburb. So I experienced a lot of hardcore racism being out in the suburbs. But my mom and dad also was owned a black business, a black newspaper, actually, that speaks about all of black issues throughout Wisconsin. It's the largest black newspaper in Wisconsin. It's called the Community Journal. That was right in the middle of the hood. So I also spent a lot of time in the hood. So basically, Wisconsin is a very black and white place. You know, a lot of separation is of class and race in Milwaukee. It's very volatile in a sense. A lot of crime, a lot of high statistics of crime and stuff like that going on in Milwaukee. It's a very, very volatile place. But it's also, you know, it has its good sides too. It's incredible lakefront, incredible, you know, vibe on the lakefront scene. And so it's interesting. It's like polar opposites in some ways.
Okay, so we grew up, all three of us grew up, well, pretty much, Amy, Curtis, we all East Coast, but we all gravitated towards the whole, you know, upper New York City hip hop feel. How did that get to, and what did that feel like in Wisconsin?
Honestly, the cool thing about Wisconsin is we loved all of the coasts. So let me explain. So like, we loved DC go-go music when I was spinning. We would rock everything from Trouble Funk to whoever, and then we would rock house music because Chicago was 90 miles away. So we would rock house music. We would rock West Coast hip hop, even like, you know, World Class Record Crew and Dream Team and all of that early stuff, all the way to Dre and NWA and Ice Cube and all that. But of course, we would rock East Coast, which was the basis of everything. Run DMC and, you know, all the way back to Sugar Hill Gang and Treacherous Three and so on and so forth. Funky 4+1, all of that stuff. Crash Crew, you know, say Crush Crew, all of them, you know, say Cold Crush. I mean, so that's everything. We would rock everything. We was into all of that.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's pretty incredible. So let me ask you just quickly, because I heard you say house music. Do you still keep up with your former DJ, DJ Kemet? I mean, he's in the house game pretty heavy.
Definitely. Kemet is my dude. We had a crew called Knights of the Turntables back in Milwaukee. And we was the number one DJ crew back then. And we also started a hip hop crew called Attack. It was me, DJ Kemet, which was, his name was Special K back in the day, and a brother named T.A. Wiz, rest in peace, he was killed. But we used to be a rap crew back in those days. And so Kemet and I go back from high school, like literally freshman in high school.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, it's pretty, again, I'm saying it's incredible because, you know, again, we always talk about hip-hop and what, you know, that's what, how we, I mean, that's why we're still talking about it at our advanced age, still talking about hip-hop because of what it meant to us at that time and what it still means now. So let's talk about that for a second. You know, you did your thing, Arrested Development and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to get to that in a second, but let's talk about right now. What do you think about what's going on with, I'm going to say, rap music?
Well, I think rap music is needs a lot of balance. The problem with rap music right now is it has narrowed itself as far as, and not just itself, I mean, the industry has narrowed it as well, but it has become so narrow as far as subject matter, as far as styles. If you remember back, like in the early 90s, which I like to think of as the golden era, because it was so diverse. You had every crew that basically came out was basically trying to come out with their own thing. Far Side sounded totally different than Public Enemy. Public Enemy sounded different than Dre. Everybody had their own musical style. The beats per minute were all over the place. The styles, the rap styles, everything was very different. And people were celebrated for their diversity. Whereas now, in general, there is some diverse artists, but in general, people are more celebrated for conforming to what's already hitting. And the mediums of or the outlets that hip hop is being promoted from has basically gotten down to strip clubs. And, you know, that's about it. Really, if it's not bumping in the strip clubs, it's pretty much not going to be heard. It's some exceptions, but that's how I see it as far as mainstream hip hop.
That's a nice way of saying all that shit sound the same.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny is you move to Atlanta where there's a whole lot of that. So, I mean, how do you, you know, maneuver through that kind of stuff right there?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been in Atlanta since 87, and definitely there was always strip clubs in Atlanta, even in 87. But Atlanta was way more diverse than that. We have a church culture where, you know, blues music and blues progressions and real musical stuff was coming out of Atlanta. Think about it, like you had Outkast. Well, we were before Outkast, but Arrested Development, which was very musical. After us was like Goody Mob, Outkast, you know, a lot of rock groups that came out of Atlanta. So it's like Atlanta really has a musical thing to it as well, not just what's become most known for Atlanta, which is the strip club scene.
That's actually true. Atlanta, again, being the type of city, is very, very good musical history just in general from groups like SOS Band. So, I mean, exactly. A lot of people would think that Atlanta is only trap, but if you would take a cursory look at Atlanta's history, it's very, very musically diverse.
Very diverse. And I love that about Atlanta. You know, there's a lot of pain and, you know, oppression and serious civil rights struggles that all happened in Atlanta. Martin Luther King right out of Atlanta. So there's a lot here. There's a lot of soul here. You know what I mean? So it's not just that trap thing. It's like, it's a lot deeper than that too. So I think that's where, you know, Arrested Development comes from, that energy, and still does. You know what I mean? But that's what that's the energy we come from in Atlanta. And there's an incredible eclectic soul scene in Atlanta. I don't know if you ever heard of Funk Jazz Cafe, but Funk Jazz Cafe was like revolutionary as far as breaking acts like Erykah Badu or acts like Karen Wheeler from Soul to Soul, or, you know, Loose Ends, if you remember them from the UK. Sure. It's a lot of different styles. You know, Omar from the UK, like stuff like that was jumping off, and Afrocentric energy, women with, you know, natural hair and all of that. That whole energy was right here in Atlanta too. So it's a lot going on in Atlanta. It has been since the beginnings. You know?
Actually, yeah, and I want to second that. I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite DJs of all time, DJ Jamad. That whole Afro mental scene out of Atlanta is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we know better. You know, we know that commercially we're not going to be able to hear some of these things that we're talking about right now that we know exist. I'm speaking commercially. One would think, you know, people with the microwave mentalities these days don't care to dig. They just hear what's on there. So that's why I brought that up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So I want to throw a hardball question at you real quick. You ready?
Always.
Speech. All right. So in doing my research, I saw that you had two comments. The first one was you were disillusioned with Obama back in 2012.
Yeah.
How you feel right now?
I love Obama. You know, compared to Trump, you know, Trump is such a horrible, you know, public servant. And I love Obama comparatively. And then I was you know who I liked in 2012, who I was really, you know, feeling was, what's his name? Man, I'm forgetting his
Paul
name.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
Something like that.
And the reason I liked Paul Ryan, it wasn't that I disliked Obama. I just liked Paul Ryan better because he was willing to say some things that most people weren't saying. And he was willing to address things that most other politicians would never address. And So that's what I was feeling about him. But I'm very proud of Barack. I feel like he's the best president I've ever seen in my lifetime.
So it took you a minute to see that, because where we at now, huh? Or did you?
Well, you know, I don't even think it took me a minute. I think just compared to what was being offered with Paul Ryan, I was definitely What's his name?
Rand, isn't it?
Rand Paul. I think that's who you guys are referring to.
Not Rand Paul. His dad. Gosh, I'm forgetting his name right now. But anyway, he was definitely somebody I was going to vote for, but he never made it past the primary, so it wasn't even an issue.
Okay.
No doubt. And then the second part of that is, this is a biggie here, okay, because back in 1992, when I threw this group in front of King Killer, he kind of twisted his nose up, right? But I saw for what it was, and that's the group NWA. And one of the other comments I found that you said that NWA, and this is just, again, I'm opening the floor for you to explain this, but you said that NWA was the ambassadors of white supremacy. I know how clickbait is, and I know how news people take certain senses. So that's why I wanted you to be able to explain that for yourself right here, right now.
No doubt. Listen, first of all, I bought NWA's records. So I'm a hip hop fan at the end of the day. Anything that to me is great hip hop, I'm going to support it. And I'm going to applaud it for what it is. As far as beats, as far as just being intriguing, being interesting, and being, vibrant, NWA was incredible. As far as black people and where we are and the influence that we have in the world and hearing the messages that they would put out, it was white supremacy messages, bottom line. I mean, anytime, just look at what a member of the KKK would say about black women, about other black men. They would say the exact same things that NWA was saying on their records. Killing other black men, dissing black women. I don't know how deep y'all go into the whole history of us in this country, but for many, many years now, hundreds of years, the ideology and the concept of us being brutal animals and not able to think on any intellectual level, the idea of us being unable to control ourselves, undisciplined, these are concepts that have been put out about us since right after slavery and before, and even during slavery. So NWA had those same basic concepts outside of a couple records that was exceptions to that rule. So, I mean, I could be critical about somebody and tell the truth about how I see it. And I would dare somebody to argue that fact. If we looked at lyric by lyric, line by line, you can't argue the fact that the images that they would project was perfect for the same images that white supremacists right now would love to project us as. And that's my honest opinion. But at the same time, I could say, as a hip hop fan, that it still was great hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I can still have those two sides of opinion without them canceling out each other. It's just two truths.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a lot of credit on that. I find myself in a similar situation with a lot of things about hip hop and race. I think there's a lot of truths in that, in the fact that if you take away NWA, I mean, that's basically, a lot of it is just the birth of a nation. I mean,
right,
how they depicted black men and black people, that's basically exactly. Birth of a nation,
That's exactly right.
That's true, And I find that a lot of it, and I'm speaking for myself, King Killer, I think some of this now is, in modern times, almost opposite. I think where you have a lot of white guys who are on the mic strong. Okay.
I agree.
And African Americans look at them like, oh, that's white shit. That's bullshit. But off of something that we invented, African Americans, Latinos. So I got to give you credit on that, how you explain that.
No doubt. So ain't no gonna be no sound bites. You what you said is what's going to be heard.
No doubt, bro. I mean, I stand by that. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny. Like, to me, it's just, as grown men especially, I think that there's a time when we could just vibe to something because it sounds good. And then there's a time when we got to have critical thinking enough to say, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to protest you know, police killing us or protest laws that are against us and racism, then I also got to be able to be critical about the things that I feel is also contributing, that we're putting out, contributing to our own demise. And it's just like KRS-One said back in the day, I'm a philosopher. Or he said, self-destruction. We're heading for self-destruction. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are just common things that I think we got away from in hip hop, but we got to be able to critique things and be real men about something, or else, you know, what are we doing?
Well, that's the thing. I don't believe that, especially this current culture, there is no critique. There is no criticism out there. I mean, from all the commercial outlets, and you said what we put out, certainly there's black artists on the forefront of that. I believe that we're not putting that out. I believe that there are certain aspects in the entertainment industry that choose to put out only that narrative.
Yeah.
At which you speak, because there's certainly other narratives in the culture of hip hop currently, right now.
I agree with you 100%. And let me say this. This is how I feel. You know, as a person that studied the way we have been treated in this country since we've gotten here, I have lost the hopes that there will be a time when we will be represented correctly by other people. And to be honest with you, if we're honest with ourselves, why would we expect somebody else to love us more than us? So this is how I see it. I see that, yes, record labels are going to pick and choose the stuff that they want to put out that soothes their conscience or makes them feel good and sells records for them. But we as a people also got to put ourselves in check. Like Chuck D said, it's like, we got to be able to say, you know what, this ain't right for us no more. And we've got to take control over our own destiny and say to ourselves, yo, this doesn't play well. I'm done with this. And I think KRS-One, Chuck, and others was trying to say that even back in the 80s, 90s with us, Arrested Development and X-Clan and so on and so forth. And Kendrick Lamar and others probably now. But I'm just saying, we got to be able to stand up and be like that. And especially as men, I think that there's a responsibility as men to uphold what we're supposed to be doing in this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have way bigger of a responsibility than just chasing girls. We got to be the leaders of our community. And I feel like we've got to stand up and make a point about some of these things. And that's what I do. You know, so I feel obligated to do that.
That's what's up.
I appreciate that you do that. We do that. And there are other people, lots of other people do that. But at the same time, we talk about this occasionally, like trying to stay connected to the younger cats that's in hip hop without being called angry old men or haters or past our time and all that kind of stuff. It's a real hard bridge to gap. What are you doing, or how do you think that we could better build a path for the old and the young? And I'm just saying that for the sake of it, to better get along, to understand what's going on.
To me personally, I think our responsibility is one thing, and that's to tell the truth. You know, so for me as an adult man, I got kids. My kids are 22 and 19, so they're the age that you're probably referring to pretty much. And for me, there's going to be some things I'll never relate to them with, just like we couldn't relate to some things with our parents, or vice versa. At least they couldn't relate to rap music when we was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they thought it was not music at all. It was garbage, you know, but we understood that there was some validity to what we was doing. I feel like there's going to be things that my kids aren't going to relate to that I say, but at the same time, I feel like I got to say it, because for me personally, I miss that grandmama who would say what she gonna say no matter what you think. I miss that grandmama. I miss that grandpapa that was gonna tell you what you needed to hear. And if you didn't like it, you just didn't like it. But maybe 5-10 years down the line, you see it as different than what you saw it as at the time. You know what I mean? I feel like we gotta keep that same energy and not be afraid, you know, of not being cool, because I feel like, you know, sometimes maybe it ain't meant for us to be cool for a moment, and then later they get it. At least that's how I was, put it that way. For my mom and dad, there was things that they said to me that at the time I thought was crazy. And later on, when I had a kid or whatever, I started to see it differently. I was like, you know what? They had a lot of sense right there when they told me this.
All right, man.
I'm sorry, Killer. When you said that you missed that grandma, it hit me really deeply, because if you just look at where we are right now, yo, son, there are grandmas that are 36.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what still I mean,
like,
the
and they can't even do what I'm telling you. Like, in other words, they may be too young to really spit any knowledge or spit any deep truth, because maybe they haven't been exposed to it. So like a lot of times, like, you know, in Arrested Development, if you know, you know us, we had an elder in the group. And I say had only because he's still alive, Baba OJ. He's 83 years old. But when I first asked Baba to be in the group, it was for this very reason I'm talking about right now, because the whole idea was it ain't a matter of how old a person is, because you could have somebody that's 50 or 60. They don't know what they talk about. They never was taught anything. But there is somebody that's in the position of an elder. It ain't got to necessarily be, you know, the oldest person in the room that got wisdom. It could be a younger person, but they sort of are playing the role of an elder. And that's what I meant by the grandmama or papa, grandpa, who was like the person that had wisdom. They was trying to kick knowledge to you and help you. And I feel like, you know, I hear people say that our generation failed the youth. You know, they failed these kids. And maybe that's true. I know for me personally, I don't feel like I'm one of those. I feel like I was definitely going to kick knowledge to my kids. I'm going to raise them up to be a strong Black man and a strong Black woman. My daughter's an actress. She's 19. She's in this new BET movie called The Quad that's coming out January 31st. And I'm proud of her. She's going to be a strong Black woman, you know. And then my son, 22, he's learning this computer geek thing. He's on the tech end of things. And I'm proud of him. I think he's going to be a killer, you know, Black, young Black man. And I'm proud of that. So I feel like, you know, if I got wisdom, I definitely want to share it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's what's up, man. That's incredible. So really quickly, before we close this out, I want to get back to Arrested Development for a second. Can you share your proudest moment and your best or favorite record that you did from all the years in Arrested Development?
You know, I mean, my proudest moment was in 1993. And I got a lot of proud moments, but this is number one. In 1993, we was on tour with Lollapalooza. And now Lollapalooza is only in Chicago, but at this time it was a nationwide tour. And we was on tour with a lot of rock groups and alternative bands. It was incredible. 20,000 seaters. Anyway, we were in Denver. Our stage show was at 3 p.m. And we would rock in Denver at 3 p.m. and get off stage at 4. We got police escorts to the private airport, got a private jet to Milwaukee, which is where I'm born and raised. We flew to Milwaukee, and we're performing at the biggest venue in Milwaukee called the Marcus Amphitheater, which is where I saw all the hip-hop legends that I admired growing up. Run DMC, so on and so forth. Fresh Fest, all of these incredible artists that I grew up admiring. Well, we're headlining that stage that night in my hometown. Sold out show, and even the grass seats was packed out. So probably about 25,000 people. And we got a private jet to Milwaukee, police escort straight to the venue. The moment we get to the venue, we get straight on stage, no backstage time, none of that. And that's just the feeling that as a person that grew up loving this music, to be able to witness and experience that in my life, and especially ending it up, you know, capping it off in my hometown of Milwaukee, That's always going to be like, I don't know if it'll always be, but for right now, that's my number one experience. My favorite record of Arrested Development would have to be Tennessee. And it's not because I feel like our new single, I Don't See You at the Club, is just as good as Tennessee. But there's an emotional connection to Tennessee because that record was made right after my grandmama died, who I was raised with in Tennessee every summer. And right after my brother died, a week after her. So two deaths in the family, same week, my blood brother and my grandmother. And the last place I saw both of them was at her funeral in Tennessee. So that song will always mean something special above all the other songs, which I know are hot. But I feel like that song is just it.
Wow. That's okay. Incredible. That's,
well, you know,
incredible.
That is, but you know, I gotta, you know, I ain't got my soft shoes on today, man. So I got to ask you, because, you know, hip hop is a very, very finicky beast, right?
Yeah.
And you guys were along in a certain time in hip hop. What do you think the legacy for Arrested Development will be in the hip hop genre?
I hope it's still being written, but I can tell you for right now, I can say this. Arrested Development is one of those, to me, one of those hip hop bands that's either very, very celebrated or deeply misunderstood. And the more you actually dig into what we said and what we put out, the more I think it's unarguable the contribution we brought to the game and the depth of lyricism as far as subject matter, not necessarily the flow, but subject matter and the deepness of what we were talking about. Just read through the lyrics, those that, you know, want to take their time and do that. If you're a real studier of hip hop, read through the lyrics, listen to the production, and just once you understand that we was always trying to be different, we weren't trying to blend in. So once you got that part straight, then you can, I think anybody should be able to appreciate it, because there's depth to the music that's it's undeniable. So I feel like, you know, for those that really love the art of hip hop music, and when their head is not, you know, sort of clouded by sort of the popular, you know, types of arguments of who's really laid some things down, I think we're definitely in the runnings for somebody that's really brought some great stuff.
I got one more question. I got to ask you, how do you think that the unsung about Arrested Development, do you think that was fair and balanced? Do you got any critique about that? Or was you happy with the way you were portrayed?
I hated it. I hated Unsung. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been able to watch that show ever since ours came out, because I used to love Unsung. And I actually asked them to get on Unsung. I called my guys from Heatwave because I saw a Heatwave Unsung and I loved it. And I know Heatwave and I know a lot of the people that they've done exposés on. So I called them and I said, yo, what about Arrested Development? And we hooked that thing up, but I didn't like it at all. I felt like there's so much that could be said about Arrested Development that I know you gotta sort of do your the beefs in the group type of thing. You gotta have something that's sort of a hook. But I feel like to just really base it on that as much as they did, I felt was a disservice to what Arrested Development brings to the hip hop genre. And I think they missed the boat on that.
Okay, that's what's up. No doubt. You got anything else, Swerve?
Well, I mean, right at this little ending segment here, we're going to make it about speech. Husband, father, he's got scholarships going out, deeply into the faith. Crazy big, still doing his thing in Japan. Talk about that real quick, man. What's going on with speech out here in the world these days?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, right now I'm working on a movie. I'm writing a movie about Arrested Development and in about the golden era of hip hop, where the diversity was everything. And I've been writing on it. The flow has been great, meaning it's been coming out in a great way. We also have, my wife and I own an art school called Victory Spot. It's right here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's to build up and lift up artists. So we're doing that. We got a lot of great players that's teaching at our school. We got the bass player for Beyonce. We got the drummer for Outkast, so on and so forth. So it's like people teaching other young kids, the young generation, who really do it. These are people that still tour to this day. We got engineers that do some of the biggest records in hip hop that are teaching engineering, so on and so forth. So it's a really great thing that we're proud of. And then also, Arrested Development just dropped two new albums this year. One's called Changing the Narrative. The other's called This Was Never Home. Both of them are at our website, arresteddevelopmentmusic.com or adtheband.com. Y'all should follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all of that, because we're always doing some cool things and we're touring a lot. So we're taking a break for the rest of this year, but starting 2017, we're back at it. We're touring Japan, Europe, here in the United States, Asia, Africa, you know, a lot of places, Middle East. We go everywhere every year. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we just want people to know, you know, we're excited. We're fired up.
That's what's up. No doubt. Speech, it has been a pleasure. Has been incredible.
Yes. Nothing but love, man. Man, I appreciate y'all staying with it. You know, this has been something in the making for a while.
No doubt. So anyway, we're going to let you go. And again, like I said, Hip Hop Digest family, check out all the information that Speech gave you about Arrested Development and everything that he's got going on. And certainly, we'll be talking to you later. We appreciate you, son.
I appreciate y'all too, man. Stay strong, brothers.
All right.
Yeah, when you in DC and LA, we're going to be looking for you.
Definitely. I'll be there.
All right. One.
All right. Peace, man.
So anyway, we just got done listening to that wonderful interview from Speech. We're going to rock a couple topics for the regular show as far as the Hip Hop Digest goes. You know how we do. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Atlanta's new zoning legislation could end the recording studios there.
Oh, we should have asked Speech about that.
We should have. Actually, I didn't even think about that. Atlanta City Council members Felicia Moore and Andre Dickerson have proposed a new ordinance that will require studios to be soundproofed when operating within 500 feet of residential areas. The legislation stems part of the murder of local favorite artist Bankroll Fresh. And basically, Bankroll Fresh in a studio that was in a residential neighborhood. They said they left 50, 60 shell casings out that joint in a residential neighborhood. And studios around Atlanta have been known for, as they say, let me get the statistics here. Currently, there are 90 studios within a 20-mile radius in Metro Atlanta. 90. Can you believe that? That's a lot of studios. The residents who live in these places where these studios are said there's a rise in crime, shootings, assaults, and break-ins attributed to the studios and the increased presence of rap artists who are frequenting these studios.
But what the hell does soundproofing got to do with people getting killed and shot at?
Because
it's just the start.
Right. I think that they're finding that studios are just sort of just springing up. In people's cribs, basements. Basements, and they're all over Atlanta. And then you got a certain element, you know what I mean? Whatever that means.
I got you, but I was like, soundproofing, I don't care, you have the best soundproofing, ain't going to keep a motherfucker from getting shot. Maybe you won't hear the shots.
No, they're saying
until they get into people's homeowners associations, refraining or stopping people from having businesses in their home, like that type of business, that, you know, that's going to take a long time. But to say, oh, in order to have a studio, you got to have 3 inches of egg crate and blah, 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 that's a little easier, don't you think?
Well, apparently, according to people in Atlanta, they're talking about packing up and moving their businesses elsewhere. I don't know what the legislation exactly says, but I think the aim is, you remember the Ibex nightclub?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
The Ibex existed for a long time and was really almost like a DC landmark until a officer was murdered in front of the Ibex. There's not an Ibex anymore. Okay.
And for a long time.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think this is the type of legislation that basically what they're trying to do is snuff out like recording studios in homes.
Yeah.
And sort of trying to put them maybe in a downtown business district. Now, it costs a lot more money than just, you know, throwing a mixing board in your basement to run that type of operation.
Of course.
So they trying to.
But at the same time, until they switch it to something else, if you got the bread, then you set yourself up to be a professional recording studio. You got no worries.
No doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Rap legend Dougie Fresh is suing Empire for millions of dollars. The lawsuit contends that during season 2 of Empire, the show sampled the 1993 Dougie Fresh song, A'ight. The track was illegally sampled on a record called No Doubt About It, which has Pitbull, Timberland produced it. Some singer, Jesse Smollett. It shit sound like some generic bullshit to me. But well, in any case,
it's Empire B.
Right. It don't even matter because Dougie Fresh is suing.
Ching ching.
He's suing.
Dougie's like, yep.
And it's basically at a point where Dougie is like, hey, yo.
And so Dougie better own that paperwork though.
So apparently Dougie paperwork tight. Pitbull is actually saying it, you know, executive produced by Timberland. He's going for millions of dollars. He wants money from it being played on the show. And as far as the soundtrack, season 2, volume 1, which is crazy units. Empire.
Yeah, Dougie sat back in the cut and waited.
Yeah, he did.
Elon Hubbard.
Yo, he sat back in the cut like a motherfucker. Anyway, Dougie went on to say that it has been legally sampled on Above the Rim soundtrack, Notorious. So, you know, he's been getting guap for people who do it.
Hey, his paper's straight then.
I mean, all right.
The paperwork, that is.
No doubt. So anyway,
you will not have a seat, sir.
Yeah, right.
Not this week.
I tried to throw some seats in that coverage. You see,
yeah, I seen that bus in the background. All them seats and shit in that motherfucker.
Who fucking have several seats? That have me tripping.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. Hey, quickly, I want to go ahead and say rest in paradise out to former Heisman winner Rashaan Salaam, who passed away. Unfortunately, that was a real sad situation. And no doubt. And as far as Outlaw member Big Syke, he was featured on several Tupac solo albums and was a member of Thug Life and Outlaws. And he appeared on the 1994 album Thug Life, which is actually a pretty good album. Subsequent Outlaw releases. He's best known for his guest appearances on Tupac, All Eyes on Me. I'm going to say rest in peace out to those two brothers.
2016 has been wicked, B.
Yeah.
Woo, it's good. Ending up crazy.
No doubt. Actually, let me get into this situation right here. This is crazy right here. Your boy, Lil Yachty.
Again?
I'm calling him by his correct name.
I can't believe it.
Lil Yachty. Yachty was on B2N Ebro interview. A show last week and said that he listened to Biggie's entire back catalog and admitted on his show that he was in the blind when he called Biggie overrated. Ebro said, I got a lot of respect for Yachty now for his willing to come out and talk about where he stands in hip hop culture, saying that he appreciated and he was coming to him and bigging up like a grown man. So I see you shaking your head, Swerve. You ain't fucking with Ebro, I can take it.
Nah, none of that. He's going to do better than that. I mean, yo, this dude done said a lot of dumb shit.
He said
and it ain't like we didn't already, or people. I ain't going to say we. It ain't even like people already knew that Big was, you know, like that, for this dude to be saying that crazy shit. And now you feel like, oh, I listened to his albums. Shut the fuck up, yo. Prove it.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You know what? But let me give him this. He is a young bull. So he didn't know. So he was speaking from whence he did not know, and he's just throwing out some nonsense, talking shit like a young boy usually talks. So now he knows, and he actually came back and apologized, or gave his version of an apology what he did.
And that's
so I give him credit for that.
Yes, and that's just why I'm giving him credit for that alone. Because Yachty went on also to say, I didn't want to have bad judgment on myself and my name.
Too late.
Okay, there's no question about that. But I'm telling you, he is in a gigantic thing. They got him in the New York Times or something in the style section. And I read that, and once again, Yachty has said it. Now, I don't know if people were paying attention, but Yachty has said once again, I am not a hip-hop artist. Yo, he's putting it out there himself. So, I mean, hey, I don't know if people are buying that or they want to keep him in some type of rap, you know, category. But Yachty himself, even at his young age, looked like, you know what? I'm not fighting these motherfuckers. It's easier to back the fuck up out of this rap shit, and then I can do what the fuck I want to do, you know, versus trying to battle somebody and trying to be in a category of Biggie and Tupac or whatever. So,
yeah. Let's expedite that, and everybody will be better for it.
Hey, he's saying it, but now you gotta convince, you know, these companies who are, you know, putting him next to Kendrick Lamar on billboards. So,
wow,
that's what's up.
Not out here.
Certainly not on the Digest.
Not on the Digest, nigga. It's not going to happen.
You know, the next topic. Now, I know I drew a line in the sand, you know, last week and shit. I'm only saying this because J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only is about to drop, or if it hasn't dropped by the time this situation airs. And and people were talking about it, and everybody was talking about the two records, Everybody Dies and False Prophets. Now, those records are not on the album, okay? That, a lot of that subliminal shit is not on the album. And, of course, you know, Yachty is getting thrown under the bus, of course. You know, Drake, Kanye, Wale, anybody you can think of is getting thrown under the bus again. I still maintaining the line on the sand. We're not going to cover that. Now, we might cover the album when it drops, but I'm not covering no goddamn subliminals on this show.
There you go.
But no waffles, but yeah, shout out to J. Cole, you know, for Your Eyes Only. Actually, let me give you a quick, they say, according to the copy, that J. Cole's album, Forest Hill Drives, is the only album where in the last 25 years that went platinum with no guest features. So, you know, he's doing it. He's doing it dolo. He ain't got a lot of background writers and hype men. So, I don't know. Where's Jay spending that money at, G?
I don't know. But he's putting it somewhere.
Okay. But I'm going to put it right here in my pocket.
Somebody on one of our Twitter folks put on, and I apologize, it's on there for people to see, but somebody put on our Twitter that it was whack, maybe 2 out of 10 or something like that. But ooh, I'm gonna save comment until I hear it.
Ooh,
they already giving it the thumbs down.
Yeah, somebody got the bad fate, the bad mouth on it.
They put two thumbs down.
Ooh, boy,
and a big toe.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm gonna reserve comment until I hear it. So no doubt, indeed. Yo, where am I at? Oh, shit. Can you believe it? I'm going to get this in under the wire before Kurt G's got the bounce and we got to close the showdown. And battle rapper Bobby Shmurda has been offered a plea deal in his prison contraband case. Bobby, bitch. So check it out. Your boy Bobby Shmurda, who is already in Rikers Island, okay, was arrested in jail when he was found with a shank.
Oh.
And then Bobby Shmurda said he got the shank from his girlfriend.
Oh, he little, ratting.
He a little skinny nigga, though. He in there. He needs something.
The district attorney said that we're going to throw you under the bus for another 7 years unless you take a plea deal. Could be from 1 to 4 years for having a shank. Can you believe that?
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
That nigga, like I said, that nigga need a shank. Damn. Hell no, he need a damn weapon in there. Damn. Some type of weapon. His little skinny ass, he gonna get broke the fuck down.
Damn, Bobby, bitch.
In there.
Oh, shit. Next up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. Says Orlando Brown blasts DJ Vlad for exploiting black artists. Now, I'm going to put this in a Kanye context. Orlando Brown, the former Disney star, has been wilding out there.
Yes, he has.
Oh, my God. Yo, he got some issues himself. But anyway, you know, in a moment of clarity, he said that basically Vlad is exploiting African Americans.
Snake.
And Kirk G has been calling him a snake and a viper for a very long time. You know, a devil serpent, if you will.
Ooh, take a bite of that apple.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Swerve, let me ask you a question. Yo, what is the allure of going to Vlad willingly to get fucked up?
Well, it's been said many times, many ways, and I'm not talking about Merry Christmas. I'm talking about drama brings notoriety, B. It's all about what kind of... It don't matter if it's good or bad. Just being in front of thousands, millions of people is a good thing for some folks.
Mm.
And that's... I mean, it's almost like a drug.
Ah,
you know that. Success and fame and notoriety can be pretty addictive.
That's what's up. All right, on the abbreviated Hip Hop Digest show, sorta kinda, it's Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right, let's get it in. All right, this week we got Relentless, 100 Eyes Pesci. That's Relentless, 100 Eyes Pesci. And we got Ollie Vegas, Just Let Me Rhyme. That's Ollie Vegas, Just Let Me Rhyme. And the instrumental joint is Sinus Tempo, God's Theory. That's Sinus Tempo, God's Theory.
All right, Swervin, you got anything left over?
Sir, it was awesome to talk the speech. You know what I'm saying? I was able to, you know, learn some things from that brother. So
yeah, that's what's up, man. Yo, that's what's up. Real. All right, yo, nice show. See y'all next week then, right?
Peace.
Peace.
One.
Y'all even still doing anything? Because I don't hear y'all see y'all in these streets.
We always up in the streets. That's where we be at. We be in the streets.
Nah. I mean, like, yo, is anybody feeling y'all?
Well, I think so. If they're smart. I don't be knowing what to say to y'all.
Got the pear trees faking like a dogwood. The thunderstorms in the springtime, it's all good. And rappers killing it in the club, and can we brag now? Not black lives, just had to die to get a flag down. And my rappers helped the map of Southside Atlanta. Was just a Selma 50 years marching Alabama. Was just a Columbus, Ohio teaching little kids. South by Southwest and Austin teaching sampling. Hey! That kind of colleges, I do a lot of interviews. And I'm making some nice figures like a gym or two. And like Sandra Bland, my band be changing lanes without a signal at all. Now you want us to hang? You know some things are substantial, whether or not financial. And playing us will put others stuck way up on the mantle. So don't try to adjust your radio, don't change your channel. We're taking down the glittering lights and just light a candle. Come on. He said, I don't see you at the club. I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. He said, I don't see you at the club. I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. He said, I don't see you at the club. I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me.
I mean, is anybody checking for Arrested Development?
Yeah. I'm seeing marriages dying just like miscarriages. We've been at it 20 years, changing the narrative. Father to my two kids, plus to add to my parenting. We took on a teen in a desperate need of a family. He was jacking cars and some other type of insanity. Playing a role that media says is his humanity. Blacks is getting smoked with police taking the toke. They hating when we do stand up, and yet they like a joke. Hey! The people losing hope to where most of them don't vote. And rap is turning the trap and dope, really means dope. I'm trying not to become someone I don't know. Look into a mirror, is it friend or is it foe? Or is it bovo? Should I swim or should I float? Should I blend in within the scene that fits me most? Should I live life and try to fight for what I know? What I know is that my real life starts after the show. He said, I don't see you at the club. I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. He said, I don't see you at the club. I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Finally consoling from years of mine that was stolen. A sea of creativity coming just like an ocean. I've fallen in love with music as if I drank a potion. My rhyming and my producing has never been more potent. I've overcome my challenge and life has been more imbalanced. Then people want to judge me on everything but my talent. They saying that I'm old like it's something I can't control. Aging is part of the package deal of having a soul. And what do you know? All you got to do is play the role of living life and just breathing. Lines start to recede, things you start to believe in. Perspectives that you're seeing, regardless of your hue, it's just common to human beings. They tell me that youth and strength is wasted on the young, and that everything that you have been has been wasted on some fun. But I believe that I can have fun until I'm deceased. Just please play the song in the clubs and in the streets. I'm out. He said, I don't see you at the club. And I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. He said, I don't see you at the club. And I said, I don't see you at the bank. People gotta live their life and do their thing. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Let me live, let me breathe, let me be me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the sun rising. Every morning, time to crush the day. I was told life is a game. I didn't come to play. Bowl of ganja. It's Santa because I come to slay. The way I'm blazing this, even the atheist is gonna pray. You know the face. I slid in like a stolen base. I get you open case. Walk in the room like I own the place. When life took shots, you had to look at me in new ways. For a few days, bullets bounced off of me like Luke Cage. Back again, new packaging. I'm the pirate who package him. Spitting black and flame, my words pick up and then they slam him in. Blaze grass, then I'm whipping every day's ass. That shows my fans like your first time, they came fast. I said it's time to fight, you said it's time to flee. Who's to
rocking Jordans like Michael B. The Grim Reaper in a tuxedo, I'm fresh to death. I know you met the rest, but you could never test the best. Yeah, just when they thought I'd never come again, I came down like the London rain. I left the pleasure though it comes with the fucking pain. Rise above the pressure, life isn't just a game. I speak from my heart and it touch your brain. Puff the chain, this life's to lose, but this much to gain. You can give me the fortune, I didn't come for fame. Nah, cause I'm on so long, I'm coming down like the London rain.
Sire's raw, time to score on the truth. Why you lying for? We all live and die. You a kitten cry to my lion roar. Ever cross me, that's the end of that. Please believe I hold grudges and don't fuck with makeups like Alicia Keys. I eat them seeds like fried fish, the nicest time six. My side spit sidekicks, know what it is like sidekicks. Hip hop's my only girl and I don't need no side chicks. Now put it in the air like BMX bike tricks. Still a quick thinker, not what you would consider slow. This a foe, but yes man be acting like they didn't know that I'm twice hype. And you could use a keyboard with no left hand and still wouldn't be the right type. I got bars on top of bars. I'm out of this world like I wrote this on top of Mars. In an ocean full of sharks, I still ain't drowned. I ain't like how the game sound, and so I came down. Yeah, just when they thought I'd never come again, I came down like the London rain. I left the pleasure, though it comes with the fucking pain. Rise above the pressure, life isn't just a game. I speak from my heart, and it touch your brain. Puff the chain, it's lots to lose, but this much to gain. Can give me the fortune, I didn't come for fame. Some martial law, I'm coming down like the London rain.
On the road to the riches, swear my mama's whip on the road to perdition. Always had chickens, fact not fiction. Slick lines get them, then like birds I flip them. Gave my all trying to get in, boxed out, locked out. Had the pistol grip thing, war ready, them whore steady. So what I got now, I couldn't be more ready. Mastered my craft, I couldn't be more deadly. Real life a nightmare, Jason or Freddy Krueger. Shooting at the stars with the Ruger. The game got me torture racks, Lex Luger. But you can't kill Superman, Lex Luthor. Since I'm the general shooter, shoot for your dreams, shoot for your future. Shoot to be King Cooper. Time to ball out, I'm hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Through the stress, the strain, and the hurt, and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing.
Click, clack, bash
for the stars. Through the stress, and the strain, and the hurt, and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing.
Click, clack, bash
for the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the world is still ours, man. Just gotta take control. It's from the soul. Yeah. In a dream, feeling valiant and princely. I wake up to realize the galaxy against me. They say the stars are in my anatomy. Convince me. They gather in the rings off of Saturn to lynch me. Born pure, then we leave a lot of remorse. Going in circles in this world like an obstacle course. Many problems that I wish that I could stop at the source. As time glides by, like a horse at optimum force, to knock you off course. Have you plummet down to the deepest shadows. Searching for light as you fight, found weak from battles. Giving my life from the crowd, you can peep the gallows. What a speak like poison arrows. You making noise, buying toys, are you boys of pharaohs? We got pros, love pros, and avoid the sparrows. They say we all gotta go, but nobody know the hours. Until then, know your powers, cause the world is ours.
Through the stress and the strain and the hurt and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing.
Click, clack, bash
for the stars. Through the stress and the strain and the hurt and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing.
Click, clack, bash
for the stars.
A young king never had nothing. Fake it till you make it. Back then I wasn't frontin'. Jokes I was the butt of. Proof I could find hate when I lost love. Just wanna walk with the righteous. Preacher's son might just snap, crackle, and pop the 9 for 9 out bust. God's favorite sounds like a timpani. From the concrete rose, the greatest flower. Peace and power, defeat and devour. The world's ours. Yeah.
Keep your eyes high, don't let your spirits get low. The potential within you is ultimately greater than you know. Don't be mesmerized by Babylon's towers. Don't forget there's always sunshine after showers.
not getting yours is for cowards. Don't forget to share this world because it's ours.
Through the stress and the strain and the hurt and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing. Click, clack, bang, for the stars. Through the stress and the strain and the hurt and the pain, I'ma claim that the world is still lost. On the way to be king, I'ma do my thing. Click, clack, bang, for the stars.
International, I got a passion for poetry, power plus the capital. Travel abroad like it's casual, the streets will marry you, divorce you, then try to bury you. I shed a tear or two, the homie did a stretch, be home about a year or two. I'm dope lyrical, Duck Dynasty empirical, the tracks of my tears, Smokey and the Miracles. I'm high spiritual, fly frequent 30,000 feet to get a clearer view. New horizon, Philly skies, different time zone. Mind blown from experience I have grown. Can it all be so simple, G? Put a pen to the pad and make history. Can it all be so simple, G? Put the pen to the pad and make history.
Moving through the roofless times. While the rest of y'all plot, we still be on the top.
Be the same till the day that I'm laid down.
Stamps on the passport, we moving out. Stay ahead of the game, or you losing out. Don't miss the train and complain cause you cooling out. Cause show a brother path to success and he'll take the foolish route. Get a grip through the knowledge, it's all mental. A hard head make a soft ass, something you've been through. This number 8 on the purple tape, so simple. Light work, love what we do, it's no swindle. The game cool, watered down, full of younger cats. They want that Biggie Smalls, Lumberjack, hunger back. Feeling like Snoop when the chronic drop, got a ton of raps. Got these artists spooked like I'm masked down with the gun in black. Living this ain't got a dream about getting paid. Painted vivid, just digging in books of rhymes we made. Great class in session, we students of the game. Leave a lasting impression, only a few remain.
Moving through the move all the time. While the rest of y'all plot, we still be on the top.
Be the same till the day that I'm laid down.
Moving through the move all the time. Spilling out with most folks be dreaming.
The day that I'm laid down.
Look at the manifestation of greatness. Move on tracks like Grand Central Station. Now I'm on a space station. Extraterrestrial flow, galaxies away, so I remain patient. State blatant. We the best, like DJ Khaled, screaming on the ad-libs. Nothing personal, we just get more biz. We've been at this, sick with it. Young Thesaurus and World Atlas. Some water and mist, the heat still a mystery, almost magic. Waste of life, nothing could be more tragic. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The tougher the defense, the harder we ball. Friends and none of y'all respect is respected. Cohorts in concert. Flood and Toga, the gun palm, Kirk. Flatbush, pop by the gun palm, splurp. By the time you hear this, it'll be too late. We on the next venture, cooking up the next batch, fixing up the next plate.
Moving through the ruthless times. While the rest of y'all plot, we still be on the top.
Be the same till the day that I'm laid down.
Moving through the ruthless times. Spilling out now with most folks be dreaming.
Be the same till the day that I'm laid down.
Smell blood. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but now.
Benelli Super 90 in the gym sport. My summer joints kamikaze. Peep my reflection pool in Abu Dhabi. The tank Cardi splash Salvatore Dali. Watch the 10 Wally. Peace Ghost. My team styling on the 490. Yacht Poly Illuminati. Copper gray Ducati. My speaker blessings from Shoddy. Pumping mega rowdy. Couldn't give a fuck who around me. Keep the temple cloudy. Sharp cinema clips around us. And the view astounding. All shackles 24 carat in the shabbat. In metallic blue beamer. With plates from Marilyn. Hattori with the javelin. Mask off and no gloves. Moises Alou swinging the fungal without a donut. Argentinian smoke gracing the boat deck. Shaka hostess at the coach deck. And I don't rock a Rolex. Didn't break a sweat and finish both sets. 40 with the carbon on the whole grip. Loaded clip. In this moment when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out. In this moment when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out. Roll 77-7s like grits and gravy. Dice deity scenery, prosper feeling safely. Brenda's baby round the alley side. Camouflage, pop a BMX, Willie got on the handlebars. Tarot card, Pharaoh, toting Vivi's Mac 11. A true sermon, make him smack a reverend. Hell on earth to prove we lack a heaven. Saw the devil through the eyes of children bleeding out of fractured desert, snatch a weapon. Caught a pheasant for the feast, fed peasants. Magnificent 7 loaded like it's a Western. Fresher than Sean Nelson handling chess lessons. Blessed sessions at Best Westerns is well tested. Automatic for 3, high speeds. Mahmoud Abdu'ah from the key. Light breeze, stoned as martyrs honorably. Concrete, Indian, no sign and no chief. Inside the beast. Sinners roaming when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out. Sinners roaming when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out. Shit, you think I own the silkworm? I hold my liquor plus my real firm. Golden nuggets on the marble counter fields burn. Fly Kamini, no treaty, rather my meals earn. My ass can fill urns. Blue cheese and I'm a lactose. I lift the gravel like a backhoe. Puddle of blood, I hit the backstroke. Light hazy through the crack smoke. Sun only shine through where the glass broke. Mosaic, my dark city streets ain't sacred. No sanctions, just anguish. Pearl vanquish, blurred faces, briefcases. I'm out east caught in Newport smoking car chases. Stay my polo with the kush resin. Big homie told me time serves some time. The greatest hood blessing. I just play my section. Blueprint unravel on the table. Architects with their plan destined. Sinners roaming when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out. Sinners roaming when the saints out. Moonstroke a paintbrush across a gray cloud. I'ma need a change routes. I'ma need a way out.